Good afternoon. It looks like the rain has moved away. The sun is out. The heat and humidity builds on this Saturday. Tom Schroyer joins us in studio. Tom, good to see you.
Steve, thank you so much for having us back here again today on Minnesota Law. We are really excited to be with Nancy Kiskus, who is a shareholder with Moss & Burnett. We're going to be talking today about a topic of concern to really just everyone, and that is estate planning. A lot is happening in that area. And Nancy, Steve, has been with our firm for 20 years as a lawyer, but 35 years altogether because she started as a person on our administrative team and worked her way through the ranks and through law school to become a lawyer and now a senior shareholder with our firm. Nancy, we're also proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nancy is a practitioner, Steve, of estate planning, probate, elder care, as well as guardianship and conservatorships, and more working with planning for adults with disabilities and also with special needs children. And so we know that estate planning is a varied and complex area, Nancy. It includes more than just writing up a will these days.
Absolutely. It includes a lot of tax planning, specifically income and estate tax planning.
And I know you regularly attend national institutes to make sure that you're up to date on all of these things, including an institute that happens regularly in Miami, Florida, and another one this year, I think, in Chicago, was it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's no question about the fact that this is your focal point for your practice.
This is 100% of what I do.
And so we're inviting people, Steve, to be sure to call with questions or comments, you know, about anything that they really have on their mind about estate planning, wills and probate, elder care and the rest, because Nancy is truly quite a distinguished member of the bar in those areas.
And our phone number, Tom, we should point that out, as always, 651-989-9226. Or toll-free, 1-866-989-9226. You can also text the studio as well, 81807. That's powered by Wellington Window and Door.
Nancy, we know from all of the news that a lot has been happening in Washington, D.C., specifically in the Congress these days. But in addition to what we're reading in the headlines, there's a subliminal, submerged topic that's just looming out there that's going to have some huge ramifications for people in terms of their estate taxes.
Yes. What we are hearing is that currently the estate tax laws provide that everything you own or control at the time of your death is subject to estate tax. And this is not an insignificant tax. At the federal level, the top bracket is 45%. In Minnesota, the top bracket is 16%. There is an exemption, a federal exemption from estate tax that currently is $3.5 million. What we are hearing is that we know that under current law that that exemption or that the estate tax, the federal estate tax, is going to go away entirely for persons dying in 2010. What we are hearing in Washington is that that law is going to be changed. The government just can't afford to give up the revenue.
And so I know you're on top of that regularly with your sources. Is there any prognostication as to whether or not Congress is going to have time to address this area yet this year, calendar 2009?
We don't think they're going to be able to address it in any detail. I mean, their plates are full with the health care reform, the economy, with everything else that's going on, world events. But what we anticipate they may do is possibly just freeze the estate tax laws where they are, which would mean that the exemption would stay at $3.5 million on the federal basis for at least the next couple of years.
Now, when we talk about the estate tax, are we talking about what some people would call an inheritance tax and even some are calling a death tax?
Yes, it's one and the same.
All right. And there are other kinds of taxes that we'll talk about later called gift taxes.
Yes.
And as I'm understanding it further, this is not an income tax.
No. Income tax is a tax that we're all familiar with. We all file an income tax return every year. An estate tax is a one-time tax on everything you own at your death.
All right. And now is the law currently in flux? I understand that it's going to have a bit of a roller coaster ride if Congress doesn't act. So as it stands right now, we're going to see some changes that are going to wash through the estate tax law over the next 3 years, regardless, unless Congress acts to change that.
If Congress does nothing, there will be no federal estate tax in 2010. And in 2011, the estate tax will revert back to what it was 10 years ago, which means that there will be a tax on everything over $1 million in assets.
So that means that for people who pass away during 2010, their estates will have no federal estate tax, period?
No federal estate tax.
Right. They'll still pay tax at the state level if
yes.
it's applicable.
Yes.
And I'm wondering why, because when Tom did the promo a week ago, what? This makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Do we know why that is? Why we're seeing this big roller coaster that Tom brought up?
Yes. When this issue was brought to Congress almost 10 years ago, what they did is they passed this estate tax reform. But since the law was not passed by at least 60% of the Senate, it had to have a 10-year sunset. And so that's why we're almost at the end of the 10 years, and that's why we're going to be going back to what the law was 10 years ago in 2011.
So no realistic observer of the scene anticipates that we're going to have this one-year window for people to die tax-free, are they?
No. There's kind of a joke going around that that would be the year to die, is 2010, is when there won't be any federal estate tax. But nobody seems to be taking us up on that offer. So,
And even if Congress doesn't get around or doesn't have time to act on this issue this year, is it possible that they could make the change retroactive at some point in the future and somehow put everyone on notice that this is coming?
It's possible. But what we really think will happen is that they will at least spend enough time this year before year end to basically address the issue. And very simplest thing to do would be just to freeze the law the way it is today.
We have more on the way. Tom Schroyer is our host. Nancy Kiskus in studio today. Changes in estate planning laws, what's already here, and what might be coming down the road. If you have a question about this topic, by all means, call the program 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. You can also text the studio as well. Send your text to 81807. That's 81807, powered by Wellington Window and Door. It is 1218 here at News Radio 830 WCCO. Welcome back. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, available online at moss-barnett.com. The sun is out, the heat and humidity building. It'll be a good old-fashioned summer day here in the Twin Cities, and there is a heat advisory. We'll continue to keep you up to date on that. Big heat and humidity today. Tom Schroyer hosting the program. Nancy Kiskus in studio today. Changes in estate planning laws. What's already here and what may be coming? Your calls always welcome at 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. We go to Pat in New Hope. Pat, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, I have a special needs trust set up for my developmentally disabled daughter. It was set up, I think, in 1995. My apartment is in this trust. The trust owns the apartment, but the trust will not be funded until I pass away. Will there be a tax on special needs trusts?
So are the you say that the trust will be funded when you die?
Yes.
If all of your assets total more than $3.5 million under current law at the time of your death, then everything over and above the $3.5 million will be subject to federal estate tax before, and then what's left will go into the special needs trust for your child.
And so, Nancy, these are very complicated matters. Obviously, each depends a lot on its own unique circumstances and facts, so we really can't give individualized advice. This would be a topic, I take it, that this individual should probably follow up on with a qualified estate planner attorney.
Right. And another thing she should be aware of is that the estate tax exemption in Minnesota is only $1 million. So it's possible that someone might not be their estate may not need to pay a federal tax, but they may be subject to a Minnesota tax.
Something else caught my attention from our caller, and we really do thank the caller for calling us, and we invite others to do so as well, and that was that this was set up in 1995. And as I understood your comment earlier, there have been a number of changes over the last decade that make it very risky for people not to update their estate plans.
Absolutely. It is possible that if you last set up your estate plan prior to 2001-2002, your estate plan probably contains or may contain some old tax planning provisions. And so what could happen, if you don't go back and review that and update things, you may be surprised, or your family may be surprised to find out that you may be subject to Minnesota estate tax.
And so there are things people should be looking at doing potentially to make sure that they're not overpaying taxes, because that's really what we're talking about with this kind of estate planning, is to make sure people pay the proper lawful amount of tax and not something that they don't owe.
Exactly. It's the same type of planning that you do for income tax purposes. You pay your fair share, but you take all the legitimate deductions that you're entitled to. Same thing with estate taxes. It's worth your time to take a look, sit down, take a look at your situation with an expert, with a professional, and determine what you, how you might most efficiently meet your goals for your family.
On the topic of possible legislation to change our estate tax law, I understand there are some discussion as well about other changes that affect how gift taxes work and how the marital exemption, if you will, or how the exemption works in terms of the unification of the spouse's estate.
Yes, currently each of us has our own estate tax exemption. Like I say, at the federal level, it's currently $3.5 million. At the Minnesota level, it's $1 million. When you pass away currently, if you have not used your full exemption, it's basically, the rest of it is just basically lost. There is talk in Congress about making your unused estate tax exemption portable, which means that if you don't use it at your death, your spouse could possibly use it when he or she subsequently passes away.
Well, what's an estate planner to do, like you, when you're confronted with the potential for changes as you're doing a will today or an estate plan today, and you certainly can't know what Congress might do literally months down the road, maybe with a different political makeup even?
We can plan. We have some idea of what Congress is going to do, and so we can plan around that. For example, what we do is we do not state in our documents that the exemption is whatever, $3.5 million. What we do is we plan around whatever the exemption may be at the time of death.
So you work generically as best you can to make sure that you cover these kinds of issues.
Right.
Now, Nancy, as you're we're talking about these kinds of issues, how important is it to do planning up front with some kind of lead time? Is that something that people should really take care to do carefully and early?
The sooner the better, because if we all knew exactly when we were going to die, then we would know exactly when to do our estate planning, obviously. But most of us don't know. And so sooner the better, and the sooner you do it, the more things you can do to take advantage of various tax exemptions and tax deductions.
We have more on the way. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Burnett. Tom Schroyer is the host of the program. Nancy Kiske is our guest attorney today. Changes in estate planning laws, what's already here and what may be coming. Your phone calls always welcome on the program. 651-989-9226. Toll free 1-866-989-9226. You can text the studio as well at 81807. We have the news and weather and then more Minnesota law here on News Radio 830 WCCO. Minnesota Law continues on this Saturday. Warm and muggy today, as Bruce pointed out. A heat advisory, in effect. We'll continue to follow that. Tom Schroyer is our host. Nancy Kiskis in studio today. Changes in estate planning laws, what's already here, and what may be coming. The phone number on the program, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. We go to the phones now. Lisa, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I have a question in regards to inheritance tax. It's a little off the subject, but for a direct descendant. My mom passed away in May, and I'm wondering how this is going to affect us. She had a little bit of money sitting in a savings and checking, and portions of it have been distributed. And how is that going to affect us kids with taxes on it?
First of all, you say your mom just had a little bit of money.
Well, for $100,000, but it's distributed between us kids.
Okay. Chances are the federal estate tax exemption for persons dying this year is $3.5 million. The Minnesota exemption is $1 million. Provided that she falls within under those exemption amounts, there is no estate or inheritance tax due on what you're inheriting. And so basically what comes to you and your siblings is basically going to be tax-free.
And Nancy, on that same point, would it be true that, for example, last illness expenses and funeral expenses and that sort of thing, are they deducted from this amount for calculating the estate tax, if any?
Yes, those are deductions that can be taken. If there does need to be an estate tax return filed because your total assets are over the $3.5 million or the $1 million limitations, then those are items that can be taken as a deduction on the estate tax return.
And, of course, looking at this from a higher elevation, you wouldn't just look at the cash in the bank account either in terms of valuing the estate. You would look at a number of other items that come into play, don't you?
The estate includes all assets. So it includes house, it includes cabin, other pieces of real estate that the decedent may have owned. It includes life insurance. A lot of people think that life insurance is tax-free. It is almost always tax-free from an income tax standpoint, but if it's a policy that the decedent owned and thus controlled when they died, then the death proceeds are included for purposes of calculating estate tax. It includes retirement accounts. It includes investments. It includes everything.
Speaking of retirement accounts, I'm understanding from our discussion here ahead of the program that there are some tax strategies that can come into play with retirement accounts in terms of gifts to charities.
Yes. When it is my opinion that when you're giving to charity, you should do it in such a way that it's a win-win. It's obviously a win for the charity because they're receiving a distribution. They're receiving funds that they can put towards their charitable cause. But it should be structured in a way that you get the maximum tax benefit at the same time. One strategy that works very well is to use an asset that to you would be very expensive from a tax standpoint and give that asset to the charity because charities pay no tax. I have a client, for example, who came in and he had a life insurance policy that was worth about the same thing as an IRA. And what he was doing, what he wanted to do when he came in was he wanted to leave the life insurance policy to the charity and the IRA to his children. Well, I convinced him to do it in reverse, to leave the life insurance policy to his children and the IRA to the charity, because the IRA, if anyone other than a charity is the owner and withdraws that IRA, they will pay taxes that could total as much as 70 to 80%.
Are you kidding me?
No. Between income taxes and estate taxes, it could easily reach that high.
Wow.
So by leaving the IRA to the charity gets every dime tax-free. The life insurance is not subject to income tax, so he leaves that to his children, and they get every dime of the life insurance.
I imagine that qualified retirement plans then can be very tricky things to deal with as you're describing this, because if you have money left in when you die, the tax rate could be absolutely almost punitive. And, of course, you can't take money out too quickly during your life, or you also pay penalties.
But there are certain techniques that we can use. For example, naming a surviving spouse as beneficiary is a very good way to continue to defer the withdrawal and thus the tax on an IRA. And in addition, depending upon how charitably inclined you are, if you name a charity as beneficiary of your IRA, again, they will not pay tax, and you will also not pay estate tax on that money because that will be subject to a charitable deduction in your estate.
I suppose what makes these retirement plan accounts so tax expensive is that there's tax unpaid tax liability hidden inside the accounts that has to be paid when the money is distributed.
Yes. They're part of your taxable estate for estate tax purposes, plus whoever withdraws that money, whether it's you, your spouse, your kids, no matter who, it's taxable income to them as well.
And this also leads us to the topic of gifting and giving away assets to minimize estate taxes. Is that a good strategy?
It's absolutely a good strategy, but we can talk all day long about tax planning. What's most important is that the person, oftentimes a grandparent or a parent, whoever is thinking about doing the gifting, it's imperative that they feel comfortable with this program to give away money. Many, many people feel uncomfortable with the gifting because they don't know how much they're going to need to live to support themselves the rest of their lives.
And so when people ask me what they should do for estate planning, and I sheepishly say I think they should spend their estate instead of having it hang around, that's not necessarily bad from the standpoint of making sure that people have enough money to live on while they're still alive as the predicate for all planning.
Yes, and that would work perfectly if you knew exactly when you were going to die. And that, unfortunately, is the thing that none of us knows.
Sure. So of course, I have children. They have needs. I'm paying for college. I have other situations that I want to help out on with my loved ones. Can I make gifts without paying taxes on that?
Absolutely. And there are a couple of different ways that you can do that very, very tax efficiently. Each of us has what's called an annual gifting exclusion, which means that we can give away up to $13,000 every year to every person we choose to give to.
Do we have to be related to them?
Not at all. And this literally, the number of people you could give to is literally unlimited.
So in other words, Tom could give to me if he so chose.
Absolutely, but I would not hold my breath on that.
Well, I'm kind of an accepting guy, Steve.
So it's $13,000 per year, and you can do that. At the end of the year, you lose the ability to give for that year, but you get the $13,000 per person that you can give away beginning again next year. Those gifts are completely tax-free. The person receiving the gift, they can put every dime in their bank account. They pay no tax on it. And in fact, you're not required to file a gift tax return to report the gift either. In addition, you can give away money for tuition or for medical expenses, and the amount of those gifts is unlimited, and it's completely tax-free. But the catch is that those gifts must be paid directly to the healthcare provider, such as the hospital or the doctor. Or if it's a payment for tuition, the check must be written and must be given to the educational institution, not to your child or to your grandchild. You must pay it directly to the school.
So don't give the spending money to the child. Pay down the tuition instead in order to make sure that this exemption from the gift tax applies.
Yes. Yes.
Nancy, we're going to take a break and take a call here, and then we'll come back and circle back here to the topic of gift taxes.
By the way, our phone number on the program, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. You can text the studio as well at 81807. That's 81807. We go to John in Plymouth. John, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. 10 years ago, my parents took a condominium, split it into two, and gifted it to two Cuperts, QPRTs.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother didn't, unfortunately, survive the term of her Cupert, so that half interest reverted to my father. The 10-year term just expired. And I'm now considering gifting the property back to my father for a number of reasons. Number one, his estate isn't going to exceed the $3.5 million limitation. Any problem with gifting that property back to him at this point?
No, but you need to be aware of the limitations. When you're giving back to him, you can give him assets that have a value of up to $13,000 per year. Are you married?
Oh, yes.
He's
okay.
Married.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So you and your wife can together gift up to $26,000 a year to your dad every year. And in addition, we haven't gotten to this yet, but in addition, you have a $1 million lifetime exemption that allows you to gift up to that much more during your lifetime. So you could definitely, depending on what the value of the condo is, you could give the one-half interest that you now receive from the QPERT, you could give it back to your father, tax-free. Now, if you do use part of your $1 million lifetime exemption, you are required to file a gift tax return to report that you've used part of that $1 million. There's no tax due with the return, but you do need to file a return.
Nancy, let's just draw a line under where we're at now and simplify and clarify a little bit. We have, it seems to me, three different things going on here. We have an annual gifting exemption of $13,000. We can give money to our children or other relatives to pay for health or college or other education, and we have a lifetime exemption of $1 million.
Right. And the $1 million exemption uses a part of your $3.5 million federal exemption, federal estate tax exemption that you would otherwise use at your death.
We have a break coming up. We'll have more calls in a moment. Michael is waiting to talk to us here on Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Burnett. Tom Schreier is our host. Each and every week, Nancy Kiskus in studio. Changes in estate planning laws, what's already here, and what may be coming. Once again, your calls coming up following a break here at 830-WCCO.
This is Sidebar on Minnesota Law.
Handle the truth.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Are you sure this is legal?
You think you know every trick in the book, and they come up with another one.
A law firm ahead of its time. Did you know Elsie Wolf joined Moss and Barnett in 1947, becoming only the second woman to be admitted to a major Minnesota law firm?
Minnesota Law is presented by Moss and Barnett and returns in a moment on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Final segment of the program. The hour's gone very quickly today on Minnesota Law, each and every Saturday between noon and 1 o'clock here on 830 WCCO. Tom Schreier is our host. Nancy Kiskus in studio. Changes in estate planning laws, what's already here and what may be coming. We want to go to the phones and get these calls in before we end the show today. We start with Michael in Hugo. Michael, you're on the air. Hello.
Good afternoon. She had a question regarding that gifting. When the money is being given to a, you know, a higher education, a college or whatever, that money, can it come from an IRA, in which case it wouldn't get taxed by, you know, the IRS then and go directly to a higher education school?
Unfortunately, no. No. I think it's a great idea, but it can't be done yet. It can't be done at this point.
So the money has to, you have to pay the tax in the IRAs. You're pulling the money out of there, and then you can give the gift, make the gift with the after-tax dollars.
Right. So you're paying the income tax as you withdraw it out of the IRA, and then using the after-tax dollars to pay the tuition.
And it seems to me, in the area of gifting, understanding these strategies, you'd want to get some advice that this is something you probably wouldn't want to go into willy-nilly and get into some sort of tax problems for not understanding the law completely.
You know, you could spend just a few minutes with an estate planning attorney, and they could probably tell you about even more options than you weren't even aware of. So you end up saving yourself money in the end.
We go to Roger next. Roger, you're on the air. It's Minnesota Law. Hello.
Hello. I have a question. 9 years ago, my wife had a debilitating stroke, and I wanted to set up a revocable trust. And I was told that if she's 65 or older, that it's too late. I can't do it.
Well, a revocable trust is a trust that you can always set up. So age has nothing to do with it.
Okay. Maybe it's a living trust then?
No. A revocable trust and a living trust are synonymous for the same thing. Were you possibly talking about a special needs trust, a trust for someone who's disabled?
Yes, she's disabled, requires 24-hour care.
Okay.
And I'm worried if I die first, then I want, my estate to go to her care first.
Okay. What you can do is the two of you can set up a revocable trust that basically says that you want to provide for her care for the rest of her life. But you must keep in mind that you, your wife probably will not qualify for medical assistance until there's some spending down of your assets. Is that why you were thinking about setting up this type of trust?
I was told it was the best thing to do for her care, and you know, I don't know that much about it. So,
you know, this would be an area it would be very wise to see an attorney and to, if you haven't already, and to just sit down and kind of go through the facts and see what your options are.
Nancy, this gets into, I think, one of the misconceptions that people have about estate taxes, and that is, can a revocable trust by itself be a way to avoid or limit estate taxes?
A revocable trust in and of itself does not avoid estate taxes. Whatever assets you put into a revocable trust are still going to be included in your taxable estate when you die and are still subject to estate taxes. However, what we do with revocable trusts is we do the tax planning. We make sure that we have used your federal and or state estate tax exemption. We can make sure that you've used the unlimited marital deduction to the extent, to fullest extent possible. And so there are a lot of things that a revocable trust does. And one of the most important things is not only the tax planning and planning for death, but also planning for disability. If you set up a revocable trust and you become incapacitated, you've already named successor trustees who automatically step in when you can no longer manage your own financial affairs.
And we are about out of time. The show went very quickly. Thanks again, Nancy Kiska, stopping in. Changes in estate planning laws, what's already here and what may be coming. Tom, we've got a great show next week. Golf in the spotlight.
We really do. I can't be here, but you're going to have some great folks here to talk about golf and law next weekend.
Golf and the law, that's coming up. Of course, while we celebrate the PGA Championship at Hazeltine National Golf Club, we'll have complete coverage, including coverage here on Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, each and every Saturday between noon and 1 o'clock here at 830 WCCO.